Welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers, where we'll be describing a man who's affectionately known as King Eric.
Everybody, welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers, and it's me and Josh again. Obviously, it's always us, Josh. If you could have any guest on our podcast to go through a Wikipedia pages with, who would it be, and what do you think their topic they would pick?
So it's not the person we're going to talk about. It's not like it's that they're describing their page. It's someone to just delve into someone else's page. So,
yeah, it's someone obviously okay. Around football. I think the guest would have to be around football, and it would have to be someone involved with football that you think likes to go down Wikipedia rabbit holes, therefore they would like the podcast.
Oh, I'm not sure. There's in a Venn diagram of footballers and Wikipedia, I'm not sure there's much overlap.
I didn't say footballer, I said involved in football. Because I think Gary Lineker likes a bit of a Wikipedia. I think he'll get, sort of like I use Wikipedia, where something comes into your mind or you're watching a film, and then you look at that person. So I've recently watched Moneyball, so I looked at Billy Bean. And then I went from Billy Bean to the Oakland A's, and then I went to Major League Baseball, and then I went to the lower leagues of baseball and how rookies get called up, and that was all through Wikipedia. And I think Gary Lineker might do something like that. But
okay. So your choice would be Gary Lineker, would it?
I think Gary Lineker could give you a good chat and would enjoy Wikipedia, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go kind of football adjacent. I'm going to go for, is it Adam Hurry? Football cliches?
Okay, yeah.
I think that would give some great content and just insight and probably... fascinated by the obscure.
Yeah,
it'll be quite enjoyable.
How modern of you to bring in another sort of podcast presentery, that sort of element into
the kind of football insight I'd like to see on Match of the Days or
I'd like to see mainstream. Is it still as good?
Well, it's better than Danny Murphy, no?
Okay, you've beaten me there. Yeah, you've got me there. So, but today, Josh, King Eric Cantona. Is he your favourite Eric in football?
What else we got? Eric Dyer. So Cantona is amazingly Eric Dyer's number two at the moment. Eric Jemba Jemba.
Yeah, Cantona wins that one as well.
Eric
Lamella. Or are we
Eric
going?
Lamella.
Or are we saying it has to be a C?
It's a kicking Kerr.
It's a kicking Kerr in Lamella.
Scurry. Now we can include that Eric Edmund. Tottenham are their Erics actually. It's three. Really? Well, it's just my knowledge is Tottenham, so I'm picking that will be Eric. Is it Choupo-Moting? Is he Eric? Eric Choupo-Moting?
Maxim Choupo-Moting. Is it Maxim Choupo-Moting? I don't know where you've got Eric from.
Nothing in there. It is
Eric. Okay.
Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting. Everyone wins. That's a win-win-win situation.
So we've got, I've Googled Eric footballers with a C, with a catching K. And it's Eric Cantona. Eric Dyer is number two in the list. Eric Young is a footballer I don't know. Eric Bailly. Eric Abidal. And then ones I know. Eric Lihage. But I'm pretty sure that must be the brother of the better Lihage. Was his name Eric?
Lihaj.
Lihaj, yeah.
The Villa fullback. Eric Garcia of Barcelona.
Eric Garcia at Barcelona. And then if I change that to a K, what do we get? We get the footballer, Eric, a Brazilian footballer, Eric Nascimento Lima, simply known as Eric. So, anyway, Eric Cantona, Josh. Eric Cantona, King Eric. It's coronation weekend in the UK as we record this. I think when this comes out, it's a bank holiday for you guys.
Correct,
in
yeah.
The UK. What do you remember of Eric Cantona? What's your highlights, lowlights?
Do you know what? I have a lot of affection for players like Eric Cantona.
Okay.
Because, this is obviously nowhere near a level, but as a player who, if I describe my style of play, because Eric Cantona wasn't quick, right?
Yeah.
At all. But technically gifted.
Unlike you.
I hadn't done any traits, but because I wasn't quick, I think I had to think, oh, I must be technically good because I knew I wasn't quick, but because that's more intangible. But I just have so much appreciation for players who played the game so well without searing pace and just that kind of like just use their body so well or their technique. And just so, he real love and just his swagger as well. Just. I think it's the greatest celebration of all time. His
the chip. Chipped
goal against Sunderland, and just stand there, just collar up, just kind of just going, yeah, you're looking at me, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
There's two celebrations I love with Cantona. It was that one, and he did one against, I think it was Norwich, away. I think, no, it couldn't have been Norwich away because we were in our yellow and green kit. But he scored a lovely volley and then ran and sort of jumped on the hoardings and just
poised
on it. And yeah, it was just brilliant. He had a cast on his hand at the time. Yes. As well. Made it even better for some reason.
Probably because he punched someone, because reading his Wikipedia page is the man likes a tussle.
He does. Yeah, he does. And then I think we'll get on to Cantona's football like career and stuff like that. But obviously, I say away from football, more in TV. He did the Nike adverts on the boat.
Yeah.
He was the ref or the organizer of the prison boat.
It's kind of not credited, but not really divulged what his full role is. It feels like he might have been the person, because you know he's Eric Cantona. Is he playing Eric Cantona?
I think.
Or is he playing this mythical person who owns a boat where people play football? Because it feels like he'd be the organizer and just the kind of curating it all.
Yeah, like an orchestrator of it all. Like all these footballers have got an invite from Eric Cantona and they're like, oh, we got to go.
What's his phrase? He says something, doesn't he?
Oh, in one of them he says something. When someone scores a goal, he says something absolutely classic. I know he can't remember. Yeah, I know he stands there and Ronaldinho, I think, does the rainbow flick over his head and he goes, olé, in the back. I remember that. That's not the bit we're thinking of, but yeah. So that he also did an advert for Nike where he plays water polo, which is incredible in my world because obviously I was very keen water polo.
Water polo?
Yeah, he comes out and plays a bit of water polo. Yeah. So with a Nike, captures a Nike ball. Yeah, I'll have to find it and send it to you. But yeah, obviously starred in the film Looking for Eric, which was
I have seen that. About him. It's all right. It's a bit odd, but yeah.
And bringing it back to football, won the 2005 FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup.
Beach Soccer World Cup. So, beach soccer seems like it should be enjoyable, right? It seems like it should be fun to watch.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really get as much. I remember for a while it was, I think when Cantona was playing, it was aired a bit, but
Eurosport. I remember seeing it on Eurosport quite a lot in the UK.
Do they have their own pages? Do they have, like, national team pages for
The 2005 FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup has its own page because it's on Eric Cantona's thing, where France defeated Portugal 1-0 in a penalty shootout. Hang on. It was a 3-3 draw after extra time and only one penalty went in.
Straight to sudden death?
I don't know. Where's the... Yeah, it is. Straight to sudden death. Otavi scored and then Alan missed for Portugal.
So top scorer of that tournament was Madja, who has got a clickable link just to... Madja, Portuguese retired beach soccer player, played as a forward. Isn't everyone a forward in beach football? Won numerous awards for his goalscoring abilities. He took the nickname Madja because his actual name is João Victoria Saravia because his idol in the former Algerian player, Rabah Madja. Often hailed as the best beach soccer player ever. First player to reach 1,000 international beach soccer goals. Due to his win against England. Now,
we can't have a good
beach. England national beach soccer team. Okay. First international was 1995. We've beaten... Biggest wins have been 11-3 v Ireland and 8-0 v Georgia. Biggest defeat, back in 2009, we lost 17-4 to Portugal.
One
player in the current squad has a clickable link.
Oh, nice. Just while you're clicking on that, Josh, you're a geography boy.
Yeah.
Is Georgia landlocked? Did we beat a landlocked team?
It feels like it should be landlocked.
It feels like it should. Yeah, it feels like it should.
So the one player who's got a clickable link is Priestley Farquharson. Ever heard of him?
No, but what a name.
Yeah, and he plays like traditional football as well. Priestley Tyler H. Farquharson. Now, if this kid, he's 26, isn't posh, and his parents have named something different. So he played English non-league with Hitchin, Billericay, Hazen, Yedding, Bishop Stortford. He plays for Newport County now as a centre-back. Okay. Represented England at beach soccer. Probably as a centre-back, but also play right-back. Yeah. What does he look like?
He attended Brunel University, captaining their football team.
That was on my list for my UCAS form, for those who are interested.
I think it was on mine as well.
Sliding doors moment.
Third choice, I think.
Yeah, somewhere. Okay, but back, so Eric Cantona, do you remember seeing him play beach football?
No, I don't. And he didn't score in that tournament, so he must have been well old in 2005.
I don't know, he retired at 30.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
39. Current Premier League players, beach footballers.
What, that we think would play, go yeah. into beach football?
And you'd be like, oh, you'd see you're set up for this, yeah.
Current player.
Jack Grealish.
Yeah, Jack Grealish.
Phil Foden.
No. I don't see Foden going into it. I think Foden relies on his pace quite a lot.
And you reckon?
You don't have pace in beach football, do you? Because your feet.
I don't think Foden. Foden's technique is and skills are probably the best in that Man City side, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Anthony. I think he probably should just move over to beach football.
And that's a good one. I'm not sure Spurs. Joao Felix.
I'm not sure Spurs have got anyone who's got enough technique to be in there.
Ivan Perisic. Just Berbatov would have been a good one.
Berbatov's cut from the same cloth as Cantona.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, 100%. Very much the same. Yeah.
I've realised why he played for the French beach football team, because he was the manager at the same time.
I thought he was going to say he's French, but
no, player manager.
So we start off with his career. A lot of it in France, a lot of, issues.
Are you leaning away from the word controversies? Because that's what we normally use.
He amazingly doesn't have a controversy section. It's because every section has got a controversy.
Okay.
So, early career. I didn't know. I've read this page through, right? Club career, early career. Read early career. And then the final sentence. Actually, read the whole of early career. Viewers.
Cantona began his football career with S.O. Calolais, his local team, and one that produced such talents as Roger Jouvet and players such as Jean Tigana and Christophe Galtier within its ranks. Nice. Originally, Cantona began to follow in his father's footsteps and often played as a goalkeeper, but his creative instincts began to take over and he would play up front more and more often. In his time with S.O. Calolais, Cantona played in more than 200 matches. Little pig, let me in.
What? Is little pig, let me in. Like he's a big bad wolf. Why is that then?
That has got to be someone putting breadcrumbs to see if they can get away with things in Wikipedia.
Yeah, but like the timing of that, because I'm almost certain I read that last night, wasn't there? And
that's amazing. Okay.
But so early career, but then first professional club was Auxerre. But in his second year there, Cantona was in trouble because of a dangerous kung fu kick on Nantes player Michel de Zakarian, resulting in a 3-month suspension. Were later reduced to 2 months, but he was unavailable for the national team. And that team was the under-21 side that won the championship.
Who would have thought he had history with kung fu kicks? I thought it was one and done.
Yeah. Let's have a look at Michel de Zakarian. Oh, okay, now 60, Soviet Union, now current manager of Montpellier, who won the league a few years back, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
He won the league with Nantes and Cup de France, and yeah.
Nice.
It might have been the manager. It doesn't go into his managerial statistics, but as Montpellier manager for... It'd be really unfortunate if this guy didn't win the league with him. He managed him from 2017 to 2021, took a year out and is back managing him.
That would be pretty bad, yeah. Fred. Something that's not really mentioned about Cantona as well is that he held the French transfer record, 22 million French francs to Marseille from Auxerre, just at the bottom of his Auxerre page, but interesting. So he signed for his boyhood team. It says he'd grown up a Marseille fan. In January 1989, during a friendly game against Torpedo Moscow, he kicked the ball at the crowd, then ripped off and threw away his shirt after being substituted. The club banned him for a month. Just a few months earlier, he had been banned from international matches for 1 year after insulting the national coach Henri Michel on TV.
So then he's loaned to Bordeaux and Montpellier, but at Montpellier he was involved in a fight with a teammate, Jean-Claude Lemieux, and threw his boots in Lemieux's face. The incident led to 6 players demanding Cantona be sacked. But Laurent Blanc and Carlos Valderrama, his teammates at the time, good names, The club retained his services, although banned him from the ground for 10 days. Cantona was then instrumental. The team went on to win the French Cup and persuaded Marseille to take him back.
Cantona played well under coach Gerard Gilly and successor Franz Beckenbauer was manager of Marseille. I didn't know that. Interesting. Vincent Taffer was not satisfied with the results, replaced Beckenbauer with Raymond Gotthals. Cantona was continually at odds with Gotthals and Tapier, and despite helping the team win the French Division 1 title, he was transferred to Nîmes the following season for a fee of 10 million francs, signing a 3-year contract. So a 11 million or 12 million franc loss on a guy that's just helped you win the title.
So he's just joined him in the summer. I mean, in December of that year, he threw the ball at a referee, having been angered by one of his decisions, and was summoned to a disciplinary hearing and was banned for a month. Cantona's response was to walk up to the members of a hearing committee in turn, calling each of them an idiot. He was banned for 2 months. And Cantona subsequently announced his retirement from football in December 1991. Michel Platini, the French coach at the time, was a fan of Cantona and persuaded to make a comeback, but Gerard Houllier and his psychoanalyst suggest he move to England to restart his career.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? That seems a bit odd to be like, oh yeah, come back to football, carry on playing, but go to England because they're calm.
and their press are known for being really nice to people, not digging into their private lives.
Yeah.
So he moves to England, but it's not quite a straight move to Leeds. So Graham Souness was approached by Michel Platini asking if he wanted to take Eric Cantona. Souness says no because of dressing room harmony.
Okay.
Then there's Trevor Francis was approached by Platini, and because of their time previous, I think there's a Roach, Dennis Roach had a previous with Trevor Francis, had convinced him, Trevor Wednesday just promoted. He's had a trial there, spent 2 days of Wednesday training playing an indoor tournament at Sheffield Arena. Not successful, but who took a punt on him? Leeds United.
Graham Souness, I understand that from Souness. If he's looked at his track record and gone, you know, this is guy coming with a bit of a reputation of a hothead and going to a committee and calling them all idiots, which is frankly hilarious. But do you think Graham Souness regrets that decision? Or do you think he's probably like, now, look, yes, he was a very good footballer, obviously, but he did have controversy everywhere he went.
I think I would be inclined to be that type of manager, wanting dressing room harmony over flamboyant
over a star
talents.
Player, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's much... Managing people is difficult, right? And people to manage makes the job hard, so much harder. It affects other players. And it's just a ticking time bomb, isn't it? Seems like.
True, yeah, very true. So, yeah, he joins Leeds. They paid £100,000 to Nim to take him on loan. And then they paid another £900,000. So they got him for £1 million, which is ridiculously cheap. He made his debut in a 2-0 loss at Oldham Athletic in 1992. But he did win the final Football League First Division. So the year just before it was the Premier League was created with all of Sky's money, which was lovely. Have you read through this, Josh? Is there a controversy at Leeds other than signing?
No controversy from Leeds, actually. No controversy. So, yeah, 1991-92. Which he scores, obviously I don't remember before my time, but he scored a hat-trick in the Charity Shield of the following season.
All right.
Against Liverpool. So I don't know if Souness was still in charge there. Let's have a look. I can see Cantona being motivated by... he is there. So Howard Wilkinson managing Leeds, Graham Souness managing Liverpool. So Bruce Grobbelaar, Ronnie Rosenthal, Ronnie Whelan, Dean Saunders and Ian Rush is Welsh duo up front. David James on the bench. Don Hutchinson was there. Mark Wright in defence. And Eric Cantona scores 3 with Tony DiRigo grabbing the other in a 4-3. I think quite an entertaining match overall. It was 4-2 right until the kind of... Oh, no, it was actually 2 late goals. So it was 3-1 for a while, then 4-2, then 4-3. And with a Gordon Strachan own goal. Gordon Strachan meant to be quite a good player in his day.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, just small. I think he would struggle in today's game in that sort of
United
position.
Ex-United as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, ex-United, yeah.
Is he managing anyone now? He's not, is he?
Gordon Strachan? No, he's retired and he just...
Only 66.
Right. I mean, that's young. But
last managed 6 years ago in Scotland. So he's managed... Actually, hasn't managed too many clubs. So Coventry for 5 years. Then Southampton, yeah. Celtic, then what?
Coventry.
No, he's never gone back to a place, so he's got one more club and finishes with Scotland. What is the club he managed in England for a year, 2009 to 2010? Ooh, I think it might have been, you know. Doesn't normally break out in such ways.
Do you know what?
I've been in the Premier League.
Yeah, it wouldn't help me because I can't. I've got nothing.
Middlesbrough.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, no, so they were in the Championship at the time. He succeeded Gareth Southgate.
Eric Cantona scored the first hat-trick in the Premier League, Josh.
Did he?
5-0 win over Spurs for Leeds.
Yeah, there's a few elements in here where Spurs are mentioned and he scores against them. It's like, okay.
And he played. He played in that game, scored a hat-trick, and on the same day flew to France to join the national team for a friendly against Brazil. That was on the same day as a 5-0 win over Spurs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that sounds like a Lionel Messi type situation where he's not allowed to go. Was that a controversy, or is he?
No, it's not controversy. It's just mentioned. It doesn't say controversy anywhere. Did all right at Leeds, didn't he? Didn't do too bad. Obviously, won the Charity Shield, won the league, won League One. What was it called? First Division. That was it. The First Division. Cantona was guilty of two dreadful misses as Watford knocked them out of the League Cup on the 10th of November. Despite suffering along with his team, Wilkinson rather than Cantona was held responsible after having reinvigorated a side with a number of ageing stars. Despite Cantona scoring with his shoulder for France against Finland 4 days later, Wilkinson citing an unconvincing excuse of a groin strain. Leeds won 3-0 without Cantona in the team, ending Arsenal's six-game winning run. Furious at being dropped, Cantona refused to report for training, controversy, and faxed a transfer request to the club on the 24th of November, stating a preference to join Man United, Liverpool or Arsenal, which I assume at the time would have been the top three. Or top
it's funny,
five.
In the top it's, five. It's funny looking at it that United wasn't his first choice. He wasn't United's first choice because they were making bids for Chris Matt Letizia, David Hurst.
Oh, David Hurst, that was it, yeah. David
Brian
Hurst.
Dean.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I think it was Leeds actually approached United about trying to buy Dennis Irwin.
Yeah.
Decided Dennis Irwin wasn't for sale. They got talking about Eric Cantona and Bob's your uncle, Cantona joins.
Fergie always said that it was a phone call from Leeds to him that initiated the transfer, yeah. And it was done very quickly, I think, wasn't it?
So Cantona's obviously won the league in. We actually won the league with his final year of Marseille. He won the league the 91-92 season with Leeds.
Yeah.
Joins United in 92-93. Goes on to win the league in 92-93. 93-94. Doesn't win in 94-95. Wins it in 95-96. Wins it in 96-97. So in. Like six of his last seven seasons as a professional footballer, he wins the league.
Incredible, isn't it?
And the season he doesn't win the league, what happens?
He got banned for 4 months, five
He got
months.
Banned for that kung fu kick.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'll take it back. Man United were eighth when they signed him in the Premier League. So you can say he had quite the impact. They lost twice in the league after Cantona signed.
And he originally signed, so I didn't realise this, in the 92-93 season, there were no squad numbers. It was where you won to 11s.
Ah, okay.
93-94 was the first season of squad numbers in the Premier League, which is then when Cantona was issued the number 7 shirt, so having previously worn by George Best, Brian Robson.
I've got memories of him wearing number 10, actually, in his first season. Yeah. Wow, okay. Interesting.
So, we moved to 94-95 season. He wins leagues, he wins cups, but 94-95 is the kung fu kick. Do you remember this happening?
Yeah.
Do you remember it? Yeah.
Black sharp view cam top away at Crystal Palace, I want to say it was. And it was, he kicked a guy on crutches, which is what made it slightly worse. And then it came out, he said something racist or something.
Well, he says, F off back to France, you FBB word.
Probably not worth a kung fu.
Not the most. Inflammatory, but yeah, so Cantona followed with a kick and a series of punches. A lengthy ban from a gang was regarded as inevitable, with some critics calling for Cantona to be deported, and that's exactly what the guy wanted. Never allowed to play football in England again, while others called for him to be banned from football for life.
Oh.
Good old natural reaction there, just for a little bit of a tussle.
He was given a 2-week prison sentence, although he was freed on bail pending an appeal. It was overturned at the appeal court a week later, and instead he was sentenced to 120 hours of community service, which was spent coaching children at United's training ground. So he just went to work, basically, and coached the kids.
Yeah. It seemed like he was properly banned from football. Like, there's issues of United wanting to play like an in-house friendly. He's not allowed to play in it.
Yeah.
Like, that's like nothingness. And do he obviously returns from his ban, though. Do you remember his statement?
The seagull trawler thing, yeah.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you very much. Now, I kind of interpreted that as journalists following a player wanting good quotes.
That's what I interpret. Now I'm older, I interpret that as an understanding of the media following something, expecting controversy to happen every time he speaks or does an action or something like that, yeah. So Cantona then got up abruptly from his seat, abruptly left, leaving behind a packed media room surprised and baffled, some roared with laughter, with those in the room trying to decipher his cryptic words. In accordance with the FA's wishes, United's initial action was to fine Cantona £20,000 for the assault and to confirm he would not play for the first team for the rest of the season, although we were in the hunt for a double. He was stripped of the captaincy of France, and the FA increased the ban to 8 months and fined him a further £10,000.
Yeah, he never actually played for France again up to this point.
Wow.
So internationally, he was there for the 92, Euro 92. France didn't qualify for 94 World Cup. And yeah, 96, he was out of it from that point on. And, you know, didn't get a chance to play in France 98 because of it. And he'd retired at that point, but I think the whole thing comes to, if he'd maybe still been playing for England, internationally, maybe he'd carried on. And he kind of allowed Zidane to come into the national team because of his absence.
I remember us discussing that when we looked at Zidane's page not too long ago, around that, which was quite interesting. But and then, as it says, like, there was a complete ban, wasn't allowed to play in friendlies and things like that. But Inter Milan tried to sign him while he was banned from football. Which is interesting.
Inter Milan have had a history of a few banned players. I remember Rakoba was banned for a while for passport irregularities. Yeah. Looking for a deal.
True. But scored against Liverpool on his comeback game. Lovely stuff. Set up the goal for Nicky Butt, scored a penalty. I remember that. And that was the year that we reigned in Newcastle.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be this guy, but you look at it and you think, such a short career, and I know he's more than this, but so few goals as well. Like, you look at modern standards and you talk calling someone a great, and I know there's going to be lots of assists with it. So if you look, I've got assists for his in the league is only available for the last 4 seasons. So he has his first season with United, 9 goals, don't have assists, but then it's 18 goals, 12 assists, 12 goals, 6 assists, 14, 10, 10, 12. So he's getting like kind of 40, 50 assists as well as, you know, kind of 60 odd goals. So it's a fair amount of input, but I always think of him. It's this Wikipedia page mentions, like, could also play as a striker. He was playing as a striker, though, for United.
I think when we first signed him, he was a striker. And then we signed Andy Cole, and I think he started to play in what we would call the attacking midfield role, like a shadow striker attacking midfield. So a bit more like Bergkamp with Wright and things like that. Not an out-and-out striker, but would still get a few goals, but was there as the creative link, like linchpin. And I think that's what I remember him as. I don't remember him as a out-and-out goal scorer. It was a bit of flair and the passes and the one... I can't remember the 1-2 he did with Dennis Irwin. Irwin plays it into his...
Quite a long 1-2, isn't it?
He does the little dink first time on the outside of the pass, and Irwin just runs around the outside and left foot volleys it in. Oh, it's a great goal. But yeah.
And during his time at United, it was all very much domestic, wasn't it? In terms of... And it's overall, I think, we look at it, so... You know, Auxerre, Coppa del Alpi, won the league with Marseille in 88 and 90, Cup with Montpellier 89, won the league, won the Charity Shield of Leeds, won the league 4 times, and FA Cup twice, Charity Shield 3 times. But Obviously, in England, there's probably a bit of time with English clubs banned from Europe, and United hadn't really got going in Europe at that point, had they?
No, I think English teams in general, I don't think did much, did they, in the early 90s? And, well, obviously the ban, like you said, but even after that. And then it was 2 years after he retired, obviously we did the treble and won the Champions League. But, yeah, it was a weird thing that United sort of won that Champions League out of nowhere. In the European stage, we sort of won it out of nowhere. But I guess we did start getting more spending power. And
yeah, it just takes a little bit of time for it to come through, doesn't it? Yeah.
And I think when you look at it in terms of when Cantona signed and when we won the Champions League, the actual money that clubs were making from 92, 93 to 1999 was huge.
Yeah, it just kept on getting bigger, didn't it? Yeah.
Like real life, like life at the moment. But yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. And then, yeah, just retired. He just
out of nowhere, wasn't it? And he was saying that he mentions this because he didn't think he could dedicate himself to the game because he was, you know, thinking of, you know, wanting to go out drinking, smoking, enjoying life, doing things outside of football, and couldn't dedicate his life until age 30. Far too young, yeah.
Like you said, especially for a player that didn't rely on pace. Like, if you've not got that pace to start with and you're just a technical flair, creative player, it's like Christian Eriksen, right? He could go on and play for probably, like Luka Modric, just keep going and going and going until his legs literally can't kick a ball anymore because you've never needed that pace. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Disappointing.
Do you remember his retirement and being stunned, and which is it?
Not really. I don't remember there being too much made about it. So I would have been young, very young, but I think it was not... There wasn't the amount... There wasn't, or I didn't have the interest in the background news of football. It was just the game that I
liked. I think it's both, isn't it? Yeah.
So
he has an amazing legacy at United, and you look at his individual awards. So we've got third place Ballon d'Or in 93, most assists in the Premier League, as we kind of alluded to. Premier League Team of the Year, 93-94. I'll have a little look at that. Who's in that?
Yeah, definitely.
93-94, we have... You're not looking at it, Dave, so I'm going to give you the club and the position, and you've got to tell me it is. Blackburn Rovers goalkeeper.
Tim Flowers.
Leeds United right back.
Gary Kelly. No. Yeah? Okay.
Manchester United left back.
Dennis Irwin.
Arsenal centre back.
Tony Adams.
Manchester United centre back.
Steve Bruce.
Wrong one.
Gary Ballester.
Yep. Manchester United central midfielder.
Paul Ince.
Gary McAllister.
Liverpool central midfielder. No, Leeds central midfielder. Josh, that's amazing.
Yes, Leeds central midfielder.
Yeah, thank you.
Blackburn Rovers central midfielder.
Oh, Blackburn Rovers central midfielder would have been influential. I want to say Tim Sherwood.
No. Who's also it? Played for Leeds, David Batty.
Oh, David Batty. Okay.
And you've got a front three forwards, Blackburn Rovers, Manchester United, Eric Cantona, and Newcastle United. So who's the Blackburn Rovers
Alan
forward?
Shearer.
And who's the Newcastle United forward?
Andy Cole.
Peter Beardsley.
Oh, Peter Beardsley. Bloody hell.
Yeah, Andy Cole. I think there's something going on because Andy Cole gets like zero recognition for the season he was 30. Maybe the season before. Though he wasn't in the season before, I don't think.
He got like 34 goals in a year or something in the season and didn't get in the team of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Andy Cole's never been in a team of the year in the noughties. Yeah, so what else did he get? He got the Premier League. He's in the FIFA 100 greatest living footballers.
Everything relates back to the FIFA 100 Pelé list.
Football League 100 legends. That's not an award I know.
No. Although Football League, I'd say, is including the old Division 1, right?
It won't be including Premier League. So this is going to be some old people. Oh, no.
No, because it'll be the modern EFL with the old Football League system.
Yeah, so this has got Berkamp, Michael, Cantona, Giggs, Shearer, Gazza, Adams, Barnes, McGrath, Neville Southall, Ozzy Ardiles, Ian Rush, Gary Lineker, Kenny Dalglish. I'm going to keep going until I don't know a person.
Okay.
Alan Hansen, Brian Robson, Glenn Hoddle, Liam Brady, Graham Souness, Trevor Francis, Kevin Keegan, Malcolm McDonald.
Yeah, don't know him.
Malcolm McDonald was a former professional footballer, manager and media figure named Supermac. Quick, powerfully built, prolific goal scorer. He played for Fulham, Luton, Newcastle, Arsenal and England. Newcastle's fifth highest goal scorer of all time and is a top scorer in English First Division with Newcastle in 1975 and Arsenal in 1977.
Very nice. Well done, Big Mac.
Super Mac. Ended his career at Duragarden.
All right. I thought you were going to say ended his career here in Folkestone. So,
no.
We'll go back to his awards and stuff in a minute. But Josh, a bit of an interesting one for you. Cantona's brother Joel is a former footballer who retired at a young age and then went into acting.
In family.
So maybe Cantona was a bit jealous. Maybe Eric was a bit jealous. His cousin, Sasha Opinel, is a footballer. And his nephew, Martin Cantona, is a goalkeeper for Montreal University.
And that's funny because there was Cantona was his dad kind of pushed him to be a goalkeeper in the early days as well. So maybe he's still there. That's still that want. I can't imagine Cantona being a goalkeeper. It seems like it would be
weird.
Really, yeah, it's not right. There were some players you think, you know, there's always going to be that player in the squad. If a goalkeeper gets sent off, who would go and goal? And Cantona would not have been my choice.
No. But neither would Wayne Rooney for me. And he always used to do it in training, didn't he?
I don't know. Wayne Rooney's that kind of that rough kid who always just chuck himself around. But he ended up muddy as hell after every day at school.
Oh, yeah.
And torn. He's just not afraid to just jump around.
Yeah. I'd agree. Not like us.
No. Clean shirt.
Clean shirt. Eric, what else has he won, Eric Cantona? Let's end on a few more of his awards that he's won, Josh.
UEFA Golden Jubilee poll number 42.
Okay.
Somewhat topical, being with Jubilee and Coronation. So Golden Jubilee poll is a popular name for an online poll conducted in 2004 by UEFA as part of their Golden Jubilee. So basically who UEFA's favourite players, Zinedine Zidane was top. Should I keep going down this list?
I've gone on to the Golden Foot Award.
Oh.
The Golden Foot Award is an international football award given to players who stand out for their athletic achievement, both as an individual and team players, and for their personality. The award is only given to active players of at least 28 years of age and can only be won once. Okay. Who do you think won the first ever Golden Foot? It was in 2003.
It's for active players?
It was an active player in 2003.
In 2003, Zidane then?
Roberto Baggio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
2003?
Yeah. Club Brescia, it says.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Because he was...
End of his career. Yeah.
What was he doing at that point, though?
Playing for Brescia.
Right. Yeah, but like, does he actually do anything with them?
Let's have a look.
Did he won anything with Brescia?
Oh my God, it's right at the bloody end, isn't it? Brescia, in 2003, 12 goals in 32. And he didn't win anything with them. Ever, in fact. In fact, 2003 is probably his worst season he's ever had.
He's shit, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get off the Golden Foot Award. That looks like a load of nonsense.
It's a Golden Foot Legends Award as well, by the way.
Yeah, that was the same one. That's the one I clicked on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so Legend was that they can be awarded when they're not active in football. So like Maradona won it.
Is it still a live thing?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I'll go back to it then, Josh. Bloody hell. Yeah, last
I'm there, year. I'm there. Yeah, yeah.
What? No. Oh, that's the Legends one. Yeah, okay. I was going to say last year. Robert Lewandowski won it.
Yeah. There's been since 2009, there's been a charity auction accompanying the Golden Foot event. That sounds like a really nice place to be, actually. I'd love to get an invite to that.
I'll take it back. Sounds really good.
I'll get us tickets.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So you're in that situation, right? You're at the Golden. Me and you have somehow got tickets to the Golden Foot Legend Award. How would you approach that evening?
I think I'd be so excited that I'd have one drink and I'd either get really drunk off one drink or have one drink and throw up because I'd be so excited. Like, I don't know what that means to approach it, but Do you not know what you know? What I mean? You get.
So I've got to give you a half. Okay, this guy have a half, please. Because it's going to go pretty bad.
Can I have a side of shandy, please, mate?
Yeah. Well, a what? Yeah, side of shandy. Yeah.
You heard. Yeah.
So, but would you be willing to approach players and say the last five winners are there? So we got Cavani, Modric, Ronaldo, Salah, and Lewandowski are knocking about, and we go, oh, where are we going to go to? Where are you turning? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm going to probably Ronaldo.
And you approach Ronaldo and go, hi.
Well, no.
David Nichols, host of Wikipedia Wanderers. Great evening tonight. Did you enjoy the meal? Yeah, okay. Then what?
Well, can I have a photo? Obviously, you've
is
got
that
to
what have, you do?
You've got to, right? You've got to have a photo with them, I think. But I wouldn't be the... I would want to see someone else who isn't famous. Or to, you know, who isn't large famous. We're a little bit famous. Who isn't, like, big famous. Approaching him for a photo or a chat first.
You're not gonna break the waters. You want to be someone. Yeah, okay.
I want someone else to show me that it's acceptable to go and do that. But mate, I'd be so excited to go to an event full of footballers and people to do with football for charity. I'm in.
Love what you said. That like not only football is charity. And I love charity as much as I love football. So charity football. Yeah. Oh, don't get out of it. It's golf is what you took. Yeah.
Yesterday, yeah. I love golf, but I went to Malaysia to play golf for charity. So it was great.
Oh, it's that's a footnote is charity. Don't let him fool you, listeners. Dave is not a charitable person. He's actually a bastard.
He's a really horrible bastard. Yeah. How would you approach it? What Luka Modric is there. How are you approaching Luka Modric? What are you doing? Are you just sitting timid in the corner with a Wikipedia Wanderers flag? So...
I'd bring him up on Wikipedia going, hey, see you there, your Wikipedia page, nice. I would probably...
So hang on, you're in a room with Luka Modric and your first thought is to look at him on Wikipedia and go, oh,
do you know what? Do you know what? So previously I've met Rod Gilbert, the Welsh comedian, right? My wife's best friend was on his TV show where he was trying different jobs out, and this was a wedding planner, and so her wedding, he planned it. And Rod Gilbert was there at the end of it, and my wife was bridesmaid. And at the end of the evening, Rod invited the wedding party, so the bridesmaid's bride, and obviously I got to go in with it and just had some drinks that evening, it was quite late. But first, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to talk to Rod Gilbert, so I... I remember. But bear in mind, it's the end of the day of a wedding, right? I'm not exactly in, but I remember looking at his career, his life on Wikipedia, searching it. And I remember we were both in the toilets, and I was like, I remember dropping some knowledge, like some like one of his stand-ups, like, oh yeah, I really like your stand-up, blah blah. I was like, oh, you're a real fan. I was like, yeah, I really like you. I was like, oh god, I've got, if he asked me anything, I have no idea.
You're such a loser.
I was like, oh god, I look back at that. It was just such regret. Such a shamewell moment. Like, oh, so, quickly, Rod Gilbert.
So you haven't learned anything from that. You're doing the exact same thing with Luka Modric.
Yeah. Basically, I feel like that's just my standard behaviour. And as much as I regret it, I can't deviate from that. Yeah?
Okay. So you're approaching
Luka Modric. I know lots about Luka Modric. I know loads about him.
Yeah, but you'll still look at Wikipedia to clarify.
I would just double check.
Yeah. So you go up to him and you'd be like, I can't believe that transfer that Real Madrid bought you for off Spurs. It was a free transfer.
Yeah, for 32 million. Get out of there. God, you'd embarrass yourself. You need to go on that Wikipedia page, mate. Crikey.
I thought it was a Bosman. Okay.
No chance. 32 million. Yeah. I'd say my wife calls him Beaky. That would probably make him.
Tell you the fuck.
What?
Off.
Yeah. How's it meeting Luka Modric? Well, I insulted him. It wasn't great. Yeah.
I told him that you never meet your heroes. Beaky,
yeah,
and he now hates me.
So. Yeah, they say never meet your heroes. Cool. They're too right. No, I'd like to make a nice impression. If I make one of them laugh, that'd be quite nice. But it's probably quite difficult because it'd be a language barrier.
Yeah, he'll speak English, I imagine.
Yeah. But will you understand the nuances of my
humour?
My humour, my references. Does he get office references? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be a tough one. So it could be a tough one. I would talk to Luka Modric about his FIFA captain documentary that he did on Netflix about how I thought he came across very well. You don't know that documentary, do you?
No, I don't. And then you'll probably make a better impression. I'll be all like jealous because it's my Luka Modric and you made a better impression.
You'll be sitting behind me going, "Oi, Beaky!"
We're trying to talk about a documentary here, guys.
Yeah, security, get him out. Get him out. Leave the Wikipedia Wanderer flag. I'll wave that, but kick him out. Yeah.
Give him a sticker.
Yeah. But anyway, who would have thought we would have ended talking about Luka Modric meeting his biggest fan, you?
Now I'm trying to see if I can get tickets to an event which definitely can't get tickets for.
Yes.
Oh, there's a website. Uh-oh.
At the Hotel Paris Monte Carlo, I don't think it's going to be very cheap. So.
Website under maintenance, blooming amateurs.
Oh.
Right. I'll let you know the details when I get the tickets, Dave.
The winner of the award leaves a permanent mould of his footprints on the Champions Promenade on the seafront of the Principality of Monaco.
So the graphic for their award is a badge with, you know, the kind of feathers around the outside, kind of like Julius Caesar's.
Yeah.
But it's got two golden feet footprints in the middle.
Excellent. Wow. Okay, well, I think, Josh, we end it there, I think.
I think mean, we've so.
Covered a broad spectrum of things, including...
That's Eric Cantona.
That is Eric Cantona. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. It's been a pleasure having you here, and we'll be back next week with another one, potentially, because I think we can record it before I go to the UK. That's going to be tough, but we'll try and figure it out. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to find us on all the socials and live and stuff like that, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we're on Twitter, where Josh continually gets into arguments with other people. So go find us there. Wikipedia Wanderers, search for us, you'll find us. But for now, we'll see you next week. Cheers.